Everyone's really busy and trying to get a block. The time is really challenging for people because of work and study and commitment. So this week we're looking at authentic faith. God can be trusted. And each time we meet, there will be a critical question, a principle underlying everything we're talking about, and a key passage in the Bible. And obviously you did your bit of preparation, which was reading Hebrews 1-4, I think, and then 4:11, was it? Something like that.
11:1.
11:1, so yeah. And we'll refer to that as we go along. Okay. So the critical question for this week is, are we trusting God with all the critical areas of our lives? The principle is God can be trusted and he will do all he's promised to do. And then our key passage for this week was from Proverbs 3, verse 5-6, which is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path take. Okay, so what we're going to do, I'm going to just give a little talk, if you like. I've got headings for each bit. This is the journey that we're going to go on in our talk. These are the headings. I thought I would pick on somebody. Mark, would you like to help me with this? So, are you okay writing on the board?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to do a little talk. We're going to go through each of these headings, which probably is it's worth writing them down, because when we come to talk in our group, and we're probably being one group, is that right, this week? We've got a lot of people sick, poorly. We are expecting about 11, 12 people all together when we're all here. So I'm going to give you that pen. Okay. So what I thought was, just to help us to remember for when we come to do the group talk, is we're going to talk through each area, and maybe if we can just put one or two words down just to remind ourselves of what we were saying in each of these areas. Is that okay, Marge?
Sure.
They'll help you.
Okay. It's very long to sit there. Or...
Yeah.
Sorry, Sharon, I can't see. So, introduction. Actually, do you want to pray before we start? Yeah,
can you pray? Yeah. Well, we do want to pray that as we look at what your word, I pray that it will mean something to our lives. Help us to get a real understanding of it and apply it to us as individuals. Lord, we do pray that your spirit would be with us, help us to go deeper with you, and help us to move forward with you in the future. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, so, introduction. As followers of Jesus, we're instructed to live by faith. But what does that mean? What is faith? If we have a whole lot of faith, does that mean God will answer our prayer? And why does our faith go down the tubes when things go bad in our lives? Okay. So we're going to explore. Do you want to write a couple of words there? I'll just go through those again. As followers of Jesus, we're instructed to live by faith. You've probably heard people say that. You know, I'm in faith for this. I'm living in faith. I came to Jesus through faith. But what does it mean? What is faith? And if we have lots of it, does that mean God's going to answer our prayer the way we want? And then why suddenly, if something goes wrong, does our faith seem to disappear? Okay. oh, you've done this before. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd have to like, give you some words to write down.
You were a teacher?
Yeah, you were a teacher, weren't you?
We just still
are. And why?
Okay. So, we're going to have a look at shattered faith. It seems a funny place to start, but we need to have a look first at why people's faith seems to fall apart in order to start looking at what it is and what it isn't. Okay? So shattered faith. Okay. They suggest there's two reasons or causes why our faith seems shattered in bits. First one is we make poor choices in our life and then we get into a place of guilt. We make poor choices in what we do, and then we feel really guilty. That guilt can be forgiven, and our behaviour can change. That's one option. Or we start changing what we believe to fit our behaviour. Okay, I'm going to say that again because this is really, it's really important, but it takes a bit of getting your head around. Okay, if we make a poor choice in our life, we can feel really guilty. One position, we can get forgiven and start making different choices. Yeah. Or we can start changing what we believe to match the decision that we've made. Changing what you believe is often easier than changing what you do. This faith is shallow because it's rooted in convenience, what's convenient, rather than a conviction of what you really believe. So, I'll give you an example. For example, say I decide to go and steal something. I go and steal it. Okay. Then I feel a bit, ooh, shouldn't really have stolen something. Now, I could come before God and say, look, Lord, I'm really, really sorry. That was the wrong thing to do. I shouldn't have stolen that. Please help me to not steal and live differently. The other option is for me to say, stolen something, I feel really, really guilty. Actually, is stealing really wrong? Oh no, stealing's not that wrong. I'm entitled to take that anyway. So I'm changing what I believe in my head to match I've done. So I'm making it convenient to fit my behaviour. Okay. So what is happening to me now, what I am feeling now, I decide what I believe now at this moment. Number two reason for shattered faith, which is, I hear this so many times, unexplainable tragedy in life. Okay. A tragedy that does not seem to fit the character of God or the Christian faith as one believes it to be. It is difficult to believe in a good God when bad things happen to us. How could God allow this to happen? This is so unfair. Why didn't God stop it?
So tragic.
Oh, just put another word in. It's fine. Okay. Unexplainable tragedy. This is number two for shattered faith. A tragedy that does not fit our character of God or the Christian faith. It's difficult to believe in a good God when bad things happen. How could a good God allow this to happen? Why didn't he stop? Whatever it is. So faith is abandoned because it's rooted in what's happening in the present. It's based on circumstances. Faith is grounded in what we see around and what we're experiencing. So, if things are going good, I might be feeling very in faith with God. But if suddenly I'm told I have breast cancer or something like that, if I have circumstantial faith, I'm going to say, actually, I don't believe this because this God shouldn't have let this happen. You know, this is a bad thing. Yeah? So it's very fragile, that kind of faith, and it's based on what's happening to me now, what I'm feeling, what I'm believing for at this moment. Circumstantial faith. It's very fragile, and it's based on what's going on in our lives and how we're interpreting what's happening. An example, and I had to put a name in, so I put Ray's name in. Mm-hmm. That's got his attention. Okay, for example, Ray, he prays for God to help him pass a test. Very topical. But he fails. So how is he going to interpret that? What's he going to say about God? God does not answer my prayer. God doesn't like me. I can't trust him. Okay? Because he's got circumstantial faith. So it depends on what the situations are, how much you believe in God. Okay, so that's what circumstantial faith is. But God's faithfulness and his character are nothing to do with how circumstances unfold in our lives. But many people can view God through the lens of ever-changing circumstances and keep defining God through what their circumstances are. And another example, I found this really helpful. A young child is taken by their dad to the doctors for a preschool injection. I don't know if you get these in China, but when children start school, they have to have a bug prevention injection, a vaccine. At that point of injection, will the child feel that their dad loves them when the needle's going in? However, years later, your perspective on that would change. The dad's character should not be judged on one injection at the doctor's. I think that's a really good illustration. It's dangerous for us to draw conclusions about the goodness of God from what's immediately happening to us in our lives. Our frames of reference in making judgments is very, very small. We don't understand the significance of all the events that are going on in the context of our lifetime, much less put those in the context of eternity. Okay? So we're very restrictive in how we understand what is going on in our lives, in our situations, our circumstances. Our frame of reference is very small when we're making judgments about what's going on. So, an example in the Bible, the story of Joseph. I don't know if you know the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, but he spent 15 years as a slave, and he was put in prison, and then he was led out of prison, and he was put back in prison again, and he was sold by his brothers. But God was at work. And because we know later on what happened and the significance of all of that, we can say, oh, we can see God was at work in his life even those situations seemed awful individually. Moses spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness before God sent him back to Egypt and introduced purpose in what seemed at the time to be purposeless existence, because they kept wandering around in the wilderness in the Old Testament. So if we don't build our faith on circumstances, the here and now, then what do we build it on? So we're on to foundation of faith. Our faith is based on a person, not an event or a circumstance. And that person is Jesus Christ. And you know, you read the chapters in Hebrews. That's all about who Jesus is. All of those passages tell us about who Jesus is. The book of Hebrews, when it was written, Jewish Christians were under pressure to leave their Christian faith. It was costing them socially and financially, and they were still waiting for the return of Jesus. But these chapters were written to encourage them not to lose their faith, because their faith is focused on the identity of Jesus. And then there's a mountain of evidence in those chapters. So Jesus walks on this earth. He claimed to be God. He gave evidence to support who he was. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He went back to heaven in front of lots of people. Hebrews 4:14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, the key to hold firmly to the faith that we profess to have. Our faith is not based on good things, bad things in life, but Jesus Christ. No doubt, we should have no doubt on his love for us, and the security of our future. God never intended our faith to be rest on what's going on around us in our lives. Our faith cannot rest on our ability to work everything out or our ability to fit everything together or how consistent things are going our way. Whether we think God's answering our prayers or not answering our prayers, the foundation of our faith is the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, faith undefined. Wrong thinking. It's a very simple concept, but we confuse it by trying to make faith what we want it to be. So, for example, a power that makes God go in the direction that we want him to go in. A code to unlock all God's resources that we can control in our lives and get what we want. Faith is not a force or a power or a tool. This is dangerous thinking and it's not biblical.
Repeat that again.
Faith is not a force or a power or a tool. This is dangerous thinking and it's not biblical. And actually the book that I developed this on said it's very New Age thinking as well. You know, Eastern New Age thinking, mysterious supernatural power, that if you tap into this force, you will get what you need in life. It's that kind of thinking. It's not biblical, really. Mm. Sorry?
Is it like law of attraction?
Law of attraction.
The universe, like you were saying, how?
It could be that kind of thing. I mean, I haven't studied the law of attraction, Sharon, so it sounds very New Agey. Okay. Faith is not just being confident, that's also a common confusion. So let's go back to the Bible. Faith defined. The Bible says, faith, Hebrews 11:1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I don't know how I saw that. You decide Theresa May is coming to tea. You invite her to tea. Would you have faith that she would come? No. You might hope that she might, but you wouldn't have faith. To have faith that she would come to your house for tea, you would need something extra. So a letter or a phone call from her secretary or whoever organises her. Or some sort of promise that she made that she would come to your house. Then you would have something to put faith into. It's a bridge. That would be like a bridge. Okay? It's not confidence alone, but confidence in God's promises and his character. So we put our faith, our bridge is in what God says. What he says in his Bible. We put faith in that. There's lots of examples of this in Hebrews where the people grounded faith in promise or revelation. I think it's Hebrews 13, isn't it? Walking in faith is behaving as if God is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he'll do. It's living as if God is trustworthy. If we live as if we're trying to get something out of God or something from God, we will never surrender all our lives to him. Okay? The good father. God is the perfect dad. He's not like our earthly dads. And I know we've all probably had mixed experiences of earthly dads. The good bits and the bad bits, being human beings. But God is the perfect Father. Jesus told us to address God as Father. And that he loves to give us good things. He loves to give good gifts to his children. He doesn't have any manipulative personal agenda. It's because he takes pleasure in giving us good things in life. Promises. A proper understanding of what faith is provides a safe place for when we get disappointed. If our faith is based on circumstances, so for example, when Ray, in that example, he failed his test, yeah, if his faith is based on whether things are going good or bad, you'll feel alone and lost. The opposite, the absolute opposite of what God wants for us. So that's the danger in basing our faith on circumstances. Wish lists. We need to learn to distinguish between what God has promised and what we expect. There are no promises to keep all bad things happening, or to heal every sickness, or to reverse the consequences of our sin. But he does at times intervene, but they are not generalized promises. No obligations, there's no obligations on God to do stuff in our lives, but things do happen. But this is no reflection on the goodness of God or his presence with us. So that's where the good or bad things are happening. There's lots of examples in the Bible. If you look at the lives of the disciples and how their lives unfolded, a lot of them were martyred, lost their life. I'm sure they would still proclaim that God loved them and God was good to them. So what has God promised then? It's not our wish list. There are two things we can expect from God. and these are taken from Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Jesus the High Priest, which is how he's described in those chapters, gives us two things that are critical in our lives and in time of need. First of all, he gives us mercy. God enters our pain with us. Jesus experienced fear, rejection, feeling of failure, temptation, loneliness, abandonment as a human being. So this gives us confidence to approach him with openness because we know that he understands and can give mercy. He understands what we're feeling. Other thing he promises is grace. Grace is the strength to endure and carry on in our lives. He does not always promise to deliver us from our situations or circumstances, but he does promise to deliver us through them with us. So he walks through everything we walk through with us. So what is saving faith? This is a simple trust in Jesus, in his death, as payment for all our wrongdoing. Faith needs an object, or a person, or a product. And faith also needs content. So you believe something about that object, person, or product.
So it's not blind.
No.
You didn't tend to.
Blind faith. Faith is based on the person of Jesus. That's not blind. And the content is who Jesus is. So you know in Hebrews it tells us about Jesus being the Son of God, Jesus paying for all our wrongdoing. That it's nothing that we can do, that it's freely given. This is a critical element in being a follower of Jesus, is believing in Jesus. So faith needs, I'll go over that again, faith needs, if I have faith in something, I have to have a something. Yeah. So faith for me as a Christian is in the person of Jesus and who he is. But it's also in who he is, what he's done, what I know the Bible's told me about him and my relationship with him. And that is a saving faith. And those are the critical elements in being a follower of Jesus. That's kind of the bottom line, really, in whether you are a follower of Jesus or not. There might be lots of other stuff that lots of other people agree or disagree or debate about. But the bottom line in the Bible is whether you profess that Jesus is the Son of God and believe that he died on the cross to forgive your sins. Critical element. Faith and direction. You know the key verse that we read? It's on another sheet. Just remind us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do. And he will show you which path to take. So there's a promise of direction that he will direct us. If we surrender our lives to him, then he has promised he will show us what to do in life. And that's good because we have lots of decisions and choices to make, don't we? So he doesn't leave us alone. He guides us through that. And that's part of his promise. Okay, we'll just review that quickly, and then we're going to go into groups.
Group.
This time group. Okay, so we talked about the big questions. What is faith? People talk about faith in Jesus. What does it mean? Yeah? We looked at what happens when people's faith is shattered. Why is that? Why do they suddenly lose their faith? And that happens a lot, you know, with Christians as well. There's people that don't understand Jesus. So a lot of circumstantial faith, people believing in God if things are right in their life. And if things start suddenly going wrong, they start doubting that God loves them or that he's good. Yeah. We talked about who the foundation of our faith is and said that actually the foundation of our faith is nothing to do with what's happening around us. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. We talked about the book of Hebrews telling us, giving us lots of detail about who Jesus is and how he's described as our high priest, because he experienced so many things that we experience in our own lives. And yet he died for us on the cross. We talked about the difference between just feeling a bit confident about something to having faith. Yeah. We talked about Theresa May coming to tea. Wild hope if I just decide Theresa's going to come for tea. But if I get a letter or a phone call or something, I have something to put my faith in. I have some content to put my faith in that she'll come. Talked about God is a good father, and Jesus encouraged us to recognise God as a good father over us. He likes to give us good things in life. We do get good things in life. He blesses us with family and love and food and, you know, shelter and all that kind of thing. Not because he's trying to manipulate us, but because he's a good God. Likes to be good and to give us nice things and good things as well. We looked at the promise in Hebrews that, and talked about the fact that he's promised that he will show us mercy and give us grace to endure things in our lives as well, that he'll walk through them with us. He never promises that no bad things will ever happen or that we'll never get sick or poorly. And then we talked about saving faith and the facts. And what's that down there? Oh, yeah.
Object.
Object, yeah. And we talked about if you put your faith, put your faith in something. As a Christian, we put our faith in Jesus as the person. And then we have content because we know about his life. We know what he did. You know, all that reading in Hebrews tells us who he is and there's loads of other stuff in the Bible that tells us about him as well. But so that's where we put our faith in Jesus as a person. Okay, so we have some questions for the group. Jessica, are you still quite happy to lead?
Not anything.
Yeah, so